Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The military coup in Honduras last week may seem remote to most Americans, but this is a big deal. For one thing, the nations of this hemisphere, which used to suffer military coups on a somewhat regular basis, made a pact about a decade ago not to let that happen again. And there have been no successful coups in the Americas for that period of time. The other nations of our hemisphere are outraged today and may yet help to reverse it, the United States included. Meanwhile, since this remains so new to so many of you, we will take some time now for some background on the Honduras coup, as well as an update on the latest with Sarah Miller Yama, Latin America Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor. Sarah, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Thank you.
And we will open up our phones for the next few minutes with first priority for anyone from Honduras or with direct connections to that country. Anyone else may call as well, but any Hondurans, Honduran Americans listening right now, anyone else from Central America or spreading out further, Latin America with an interest in Honduras, or anyone with a connection to this, give us a call. Tell us your understanding and ask our guest, the Latin America Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, a question. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Sarah, I want to start by going back to sort of square one. What kind of a government was overthrown in Honduras? We know this is one of the poorest countries in this hemisphere. What kind of a government did exist that was ousted by the military?
Sure. Well, Manuel Zelaya came into power. He was elected in 2005, and he was very centrist, but through the course of his presidency after he came to power in 2006, he really veered left. And really, that is what a lot of people were concerned about. He polarized the country in a sense. He really gave a lot of support to the poor. He raised the minimum wage, but he also aligned with Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. He joined the ALBA, which is the Alternative Free Trade Agreement that Chavez supports, and people were really afraid that he was following in Chavez's footsteps.
And so who was behind the coup?
Well, it was the Supreme Court that gave an order to the military to oust Zelaya. They are claiming that it actually was not a coup, that it's under the Constitution, that they did the correct thing. What was happening is that Zelaya was exploring the possibility of calling a constituent assembly. He denied that he was looking to scrap term limits, but the authorities in power now say that was his ultimate goal, that he was going to dissolve Congress, and we were looking at a situation of him being in power forever.
Explain this. My understanding is there was going to be a non-binding referendum to rewrite the Constitution, which may have been a ploy by Zelaya to stay in power, but the Supreme Court of Honduras tried to get him to not hold the referendum, and he was going to defy the court. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. The Supreme Court declared it illegal because within the Constitution as it stands now, you can't even explore a possibility of changing term limits. So the Supreme Court was against it. The Congress was against it. When the military refused to participate in, handing out ballots, the military officer was ousted by Zelaya. And so they said he was breaking the law, he was breaking the Constitution, and that's why the military went in to arrest him.
Now, the other countries in the Americas are having none of it. The Organization of American States gave Honduras an ultimatum, 72 hours to reinstate Zelaya or be suspended from the group. What's the status of that?
Well, they refused to reinstate him. The interim government here has not budged at all. They say they will, he is not the president. He is now the ex-president. And when the Insulza came here from the OAS on Friday, the government basically said no. He met with the Supreme Court. He met with members of Congress. And on Saturday, very late at night, they were suspended.
And so what does this mean? Does this actually help to get Zelaya reinstated, or does it just make the new government dig in and, in a way, give the other countries in the Americas less power?
Well, the new government is sending mixed messages in a sense. At first they said, okay, we don't care, we don't need you, and this is just going to harden our position. You don't understand what's going on here. Now, yesterday at a press conference, Roberto Michelete, who's the interim president now, said that they would be open to some kind of dialogue with the OAS. I think behind the scenes everyone is scrambling to come to some kind of compromise, but it really remains clear what their true position is.
Let's take a phone call. Jerry in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello, Jerry.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call and touching upon the subject of Honduras. I was born in the country of Honduras and educated here in political science. I know the hemisphere very well. This is the second poorest country on this hemisphere after Haiti. They don't have a pot to pee in. It's an oligarchy. It's about 12, 14 families controlling the military. These people would never have the courage to isolate themselves internationally without the U.S. pushing them. This has all the modus operandi of an American campaign, a coup d'etat, to try to stem the tide of Chavismo from Venezuela, because they know it's a poor country. They can work on it just like they worked on Haiti. They made a mess of it, and that's the size of it. And anybody that looks into this situation can look at the magazine called NACLA, National Congress on Latin America, and get the facts on Honduras.
But Jerry, if your analysis about U.S. involvement may have been true in the past, can you say that's likely true today under President Obama? Obama has joined the other OAS countries in condemning the coup, and I believe that Zelaya is even going to be taking some refuge in the United States.
Well, Obama has to pay lip service to democratic principles because that's his role. It doesn't mean that behind the scenes he can lay claim to, he doesn't have to be deceiving the people because he can always claim ignorance, because the intelligence community can always be faulted by, just like they did in Iraq. Oh, we had faulty intelligence. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Oh, we weren't told that this was being conducted in our name. No, Obama has to say and pay lip service to whatever's representative of the principles that he represents as president of the United States. That does not mean that this didn't happen. Who else would have conducted this operation?
Jerry, I'm going to leave it there and get a reaction from our guest, Sarah Miller-Yama, Latin America Bureau Chief with the Christian Science Monitor. What do you think? Any foundation to what Jerry is saying?
Well, I think actually most Hondurans here who support the ouster of Zelaya are really sort of dismayed to find themselves on the other side for once. They actually feel like the U.S. has come down really strongly against them, doesn't know at all what's going on. The international media has been really condemned at peace marches. You go and, you know, there are signs against CNN saying that they don't understand and world, open your eyes. So I think that actually, you know, there's a sense that they are completely isolated from the U.S. and that they'd like to see the U.S. actually get on their side and listen to what's going on here.
Because that more free market side of the country usually had the support of the United States, right?
Well, right. I mean, the dynamic in Latin America for the past, you know, 5 years has been that the leftists are against, you know, the U.S., and now the U.S. is sort of coming down on the same side as Chavez. And you go to the marches with the people supporting Zelaya, and, you know, they have photos of Che Guevara on their shirts, and it is the U.S. that is sort of supporting their side of the coin. So it is quite interesting. There's sort of a reversal going on here.
In fact, here's a caller, Keith in Washington Heights, who I think identifies with those Hondurans. Keith, you're on WNYC. Hi.
I am just amazed that we're coming out in favor of the wrong guy. The attempted coup was by the president who was there, who violated every single part of their constitution. To just make a blanket rule that says we're never going to support a coup, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, what happens if they overthrow Castro tomorrow? Are we going to say, no, let's put Castro back in?
Well, there's a difference between a revolution, a popular revolution, and a military coup, isn't there?
I mean, well, okay, let me make a couple of points here. First of all is, when you say the word coup, what you usually picture is, you know, the military comes out, they shoot everybody in sight. Here we have a guy who had violated, or, you know, tried to get rid of the Congress and the Supreme Court and everybody, and they very calmly picked him up, deposited him in another country, and said, I'm very sorry to tell you this, but if you come back, you're going to face you're going to be in a court of law because you violated everything here. It was done in a very calm way with the support of the Constitution, the Congress, and the Supreme Court. There comes a time, what in the course of human events, we just had one of those here, you know, a celebration of what happened 233 years ago, we did the same thing ourselves. It depends on the situation. We had a coup against Britain. Was that also illegal?
We had what? I'm sorry.
We had a coup against Britain.
Against Britain. Keith, thank you. And Sarah Miller-Yama from the Christian Science Monitor in Latin America. Can we say objectively whether Zelaya was a bigger threat to democracy by defying their Congress and their Supreme Court than the coup itself was, or vice versa?
I mean, that's the key question here. People here are truly convinced, those that support his ouster, that he was the bigger threat, that he was going to, you know, the country's institutions were not behind him, and he was pressing forward with his plans to go forward with this non-binding referendum, which today he's calling, you know, just a survey. But people here really think that this was the beginning of him dissolving Congress and taking over and just destroying the institutions here. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, is this a coup or is this not a coup? And a lot of people here are saying that, you know, it's a modern-day coup because they came in, the military did take him out of the country, but within moments, you know, or within hours, you know, the civilians were running the country. Nothing has been dissolved here. Everything is running. It was a constitutional succession of power. So, you know, I think this is going to be a debate that goes on for a long, long time.
Jose in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jose.
How you doing? Half of my family is here, half is down there in Honduras. The ones in the States, we all support Zelaya. We don't like him, but we support the fact that he was the president. We needed to let him finish. The other half is in Honduras, the middle class. They were marching against them. These are people who never got involved in politics. And my brother said, if they give me a gun, I will go to the last message that I need to take. Yeah. So my family's completely divided. They say, oh, you guys in the States don't know what's happening here. But I do believe it's the ghost of Chavez behind it.
Jose,
this is all of this.
Jose, thank you very much. Wow. And Henry in Rahway, another Honduran American. Hi, Henry.
Yes, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Can hear you fine.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to say I agree with the first caller. You know, Zelaya was not trying to reelect himself. And he's been saying it for almost 2 years, you know. He was doing a poll, you know, through a vote because there's too many rural areas in Honduras without electricity and phones, you know. And that was a poll to ask for a future question about a four box, you know, a four box in the next elections. You have the president box, ballot box. You have the congressman ballot box. And you have the mayor ballot box. He wanted to ask people if they wanted a four box, you know. And, you know, everything else is outrageous. And if United States comes alone and says that they're going to cancel the visas of these ousters, that coup will last 20 minutes in Honduras, 20 minutes.
Interesting. Henry, thank you very much. And so we're seeing, Sarah, as we're almost out of time, how divided even the Honduran Americans in our audience are about this, reflecting the community there, I guess, to some degree. Does the United States have the power that he says? What could the United States do to reverse the coup if it really wanted to?
Well, the U.S. right now is deciding whether or not legally they're going to declare it a coup because it's a question of whether they're going to suspend aid to Honduras. I'm not sure that the U.S. wants to take a strong role here, in part because of the past. You know, it doesn't want to be seen as interventionist. I think it's hoping that through the OAS they can come to some kind of compromise. But, you know, a State Department official said yesterday, time is of the essence here because, you know, the country is becoming more and more polarized. Last night, as the president was supposed to arrive back, you know, the worst violence came out. At least one person was shot. So I think people are just really hoping a resolution comes soon.
Right. And last thing, if this new administration really says that it intervened on the side of democracy, they have an installed president right now, installed by the military. Are they making plans for a quick election to establish their democratic bona fides?
Right now, the Constitution here does not allow that, but that is an idea that has been floated, and I do think that could be one of the more realistic options out there. Elections are scheduled for November, but if they could move them up by months, it could go some way to solve some of the problem here.
Sarah Miller Yama, Latin America Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, thanks a lot for filling us in on this.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And after a break, we're going to start taking phone calls from some of our unemployed listeners. If you recently lost your job, call us up and say it on the air, because with the unemployment rate up to 9.5% now and another 470,000 jobs lost in June alone, we want to keep giving voice, as we've been doing for months, to our unemployed listeners and not let you become invisible or, since it's the radio, inaudible. So from now to the end of the show, we will sprinkle in calls at various times from anyone who lost your job, especially in the last month, but it doesn't have to be just in the month of June. Call up and say what you did. Tell us how you feel. Tell us what's next for you. Maybe your next employer will hear you. Who knows? Maybe it'll just feel good to say the words to your fellow WNYC listeners. So call in. If you recently lost your job, just call in and say what happened and what you want to do next and how you're feeling. Say it publicly. Probably make you feel better. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. A call in for recently unemployed listeners, and we'll take some of those calls right after this.